If you've ever had a client conversation that literally makes you doubt everything, then this episode is for you. Every agency has that call that makes them go, oh my goodness, it's changed absolutely everything. We need to do this. We need to change this. We need to swap this out for a service. And I want to break down one that was such a pinnacle moment for me, especially within our agency. It made me literally doubt everything. And I think it's really important that it's talked about. It's not just brushed under the carpet, because these calls are happening all of the time and they're things that we should be talking about.
So welcome back to the Agency Diaries. And this episode, we are talking about the call that changed everything.
Oh, Phoebes, it's so nice to have you on the Agency Diaries.
It feels weird being on a different podcast.
I know.
But cool and fun.
Yeah, very, obviously.
I know.
So where do we start?
I think we need to start with setting the scene.
Okay.
So talk about where this call happened, where were you, frame of mind you were in, kind of day.
Okay, so where do we start? And there are multiple calls I can think about with this. And the reason I wanted to do this episode is because, like I said at the beginning, we have these difficult conversations, whether that's difficult conversations with team members, which I never have because my team is so fantastic, whether it's with clients, whether it's with, you know, I'll even say HMRC, like you have difficult conversations with HMRC. And I think as you grow an agency, those conversations, when you're right at the beginning of your journey, seem so daunting because you're like, oh God, how do I deal with it?
Yeah,
what do I say? And
yeah.
I think one thing that I always used to do, and I've worked really, really hard, or tried to work really, really hard in my own like self-progression, is I used to be so emotional. And not just because I'm a female, like I used to take every piece of client feedback, every comment, everything to heart.
Yeah.
Because I used to feel like it was a personal attack on me. And I think for me, something that's really changed as we've grown as an agency is the resilience to taking it so emotionally and trying to just step back and just be really rational around, okay, what does this call mean? What are they trying to tell me? What's the outcome? How can we deal with it properly? And dealing with it in that way has been a massive game changer for us. And obviously trying to put the emotions to one side, which naturally is difficult because you're human, right?
Yeah, everyone's human.
Emotions are always going to come into it. And I think as a team and as an agency, we always say that we are human first, and we really are. So our emotions are always going to be there.
I think, yeah, in this kind of world that we live in, it's so easy to get disconnected from being behind a screen. So it's not always easy to like remember that there are real people behind it.
100%. 100%. And this specific call was, I think I was mid like client project. I think I was mid like email marketing, which we all know I love doing. I was having a really good day. It was a classic gym, leggings, hair on top of my head. Like hadn't had a minute to just make a coffee and have a biscuit.
It was just go, go, go.
It was go, go, go. We all know how much I love coffees and biscuits at like 10:30. But it was one of those days and weeks where it was a good week. It was a good day. And I was feeling as though like we're doing great. Mm-hmm. And I think it's always those moments where you think you're flying and something
crashes. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Exactly that. So it really took me by surprise because I was like, I'm actually going to have to deal with this, and I'm going to have to deal with it head on. I think the other thing as well around difficult conversations is procrastination.
Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, you can avoid it very easily.
Yeah, like we're in a digital world, so actually avoiding,
you're not sat in front of someone.
You're not literally face to face. So if you want to avoid a conversation, you can really easily avoid it.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad, one piece of advice he always says is just deal with it. Like go and deal with it head on. Otherwise you're just delaying it.
Yeah. And I feel like when you're delaying it, you're sat there thinking about it. So it's not really any better, is it?
Yeah.
It's always there in your mind.
In your mind. And I think at the point of having those difficult conversations, so many things can go through your head, right? So I'm a factual person. You know that better than anyone. And we always say in our agency, lead with data, because data never lies. It is factual. It's you can't hide behind it, and it's your proof. So before I ever or before I go and have any form of difficult conversation, I like to data collect. And I like to get all of that up my sleeve so that I know I've got everything mm-hmm. to sort of
I feel like it, well, it bulks up your point, doesn't it? And yeah. it makes you you show that you are understanding everyone.
Yeah. And also it gives you the peace of, it gives you peace of mind, mm-hmm. number one. But it also is
it
a chance.
It reassures yourself as well, doesn't it?
Exactly. And when there's, especially in the agency world, because the way clients and projects work, the likelihood is that you've had multiple touch points with multiple team members over multiple, over a timeline. Mm-hmm. So it could be that one project has touched five different people within the team. So that's five different data sets you need to collect. That's mm-hmm. five different internal comms.
Points whether of that's,
views. Yeah, everything. So I always like to start with that. Before I ever have any difficult conversations, whether that's clients, HMRC, HR, whatever it might be, I always love to data collect and get my facts in front of me so that I can talk with confidence. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really important. And from that point, it then goes into balancing the emotions. Like, how do you balance the, okay, so I'm taking this personally, but I'm not because I know, you know.
You're right.
Yeah, exactly. And that also goes into it. Do you go down the route of, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right? Or do you go, and again, we say this a lot in our agency, if we're wrong, put your hands up, say you're wrong.
Yeah, I think admittal is almost stronger than trying to defend yourself in a circumstance like that.
Yeah, 100%. And this particular conversation for me was a massive turning point because... And again, the agency diaries was born out of growing an agency, you know, all of the highs, all of the lows that go into it. And for me, this conversation was huge because it was now no longer Kate Williams behind an agency. And I felt so protective more than ever to protect my team
all of us, yeah.
in that moment. And I felt like, and the only way I can describe it.
Almost like a little proud parent.
I felt like, no, I felt like a lion because I felt as though I am not letting.
Protecting your pack.
Yeah, I'm not letting anybody who I have the facts and data in front of me. I'm not letting anybody question my team's view and their judgment because we are experts in what we do, mm-hmm. right? We sit in our space. We know what we're doing. We do it day in, day out. We are absolute advocates for our vertical, our industry that we work in. And at that point, it was no longer me sticking up for myself. It was me sticking up for my team.
Everyone, yeah.
And so that then balanced out into, if I didn't have that difficult conversation, I'm letting my team down. Mm-hmm. And I think that turning point was huge because actually, and again, that goes into when I had, in the previous episode, when I was talking to Laura, it's around having those conversations, protecting your team, but also just believing that your team do their best work as mm-hmm. well, because like we work so closely together.
Yeah, it's the trust that you have in us.
100%.
And I think it also sets an example. I feel like you become a role model for us then.
Yeah.
In what we do in every day.
100%. And it also goes back to, if I don't step up and I don't have those difficult conversations, how as a growing team are you guys going to know that actually you should believe in the work that you
do. Yeah, it kind of gets to the point where it's, if something goes wrong, do we start hiding from it as well?
And that is absolutely not what we advocate or what we're about,
no,
because we are experts. And through, if you need food and drink marketing, come to us because we know how to do it and we know how to do it really bloody well. So that was a massive turning point for me in terms of it was not just me, it was doing it for a team. And mm-hmm. exactly like you say, Phoebes, if I didn't do it, what does that then mean later down the line for you guys as a team? Because I'm supposed to be setting that example.
Yeah.
So the goalposts really changed at that moment. And I think instead of, you know, any difficult conversation, you can change it from confrontational to that sort of collaborative conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, that's massive, right? And when I say that, I mean, instead of it being, no, this is right, no, that's right, no, that in our world, so we obviously are in marketing, a lot of the things that happen are around understanding.
Yeah, especially when it comes to two sides of the story.
Yeah.
I think that that's really important.
Yeah, and it's understanding and education of the work that we do. And I think what sometimes can happen is the understanding of the work that we do. And that's where a conversation can go from being a confrontational one to attack, 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 to actually being collaborative, explaining, trying to understand how they might feel, what it means from a deliverability perspective, all of those things. And I think, again, that is something massive, which I've learned, is the education piece is also really important, which is why I data collect so much, so that then I can explain that really detailed, but without overwhelming them.
It shows you
care
as well, I think.
I'd really care. I really, really care. And the bottom line is as well, you know, we are, yes, we're based in the Southwest, but we do work with national brands, but our reputation to us means so much.
Definitely.
So I deeply care. And I know that as a team, we deeply care as well.
Yeah, we're not taking shortcuts to get around.
No, exactly that. And when there's so much time invested into something as well, then that's when I really have to balance those emotions, because I'm like, whew, we've done so much. Mm-hmm. And that's when I need to step back a bit. And again, as my role evolves within, you know, our agency model, and as we're growing and as we're going along our journey, that's all those things that I have to spend time learning. But again, that's hopefully stuff that as a team, you guys can see that, you know, as long as the data lines up, as long as we've done our jobs, as long as, you know, we've done what we need to do.
We've done our bit.
We've done our bit, and be confident that we've done our bit as well. Mm-hmm. And if I go back to my freelancer days, I would have given you a different answer.
I think you've got no one to back you up in that sense. And there's almost an overarching thing of always thinking, oh yeah, maybe I have done something wrong, or there's a lot more self-doubt.
Self-doubt. I think there's a lot of, like you say, there's no one to back you up. There's self-doubt. And also there's a piece of, this is my world. This is paying my bills. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, if I...
You almost just want to please whoever's
paying. You want an easy life. Yeah, you want an easy life. But then that goes back to, because we're in such a fast-paced world, I would argue now, is that the right approach? It isn't. Mm-mm. Because we are leading the way with what we're doing. We know best in terms of these channels that we do. So actually, let us lead with our expertise and our insights. So there's always that balance. But I think if you were to ask me that same question around, you know, how would you deal with it in my freelance days, it would have been very different. Mm. So yeah, there's loads of things that go into it around, you know, is it collaborative? Is it confrontational? Is there any pressure? Is it emotive? You know, is it self-doubt? Is it not? And all of those things before that call, in that moment, you're like, oh my God, I need to balance all of this and make sure that I really get on this call and I'm level-headed. Mm. And, you know, I can be hot-headed when I want to be.
I think that almost comes with the avoidance, doesn't it, as well?
Because
you avoiding the call, it's also making sure that you're in your prime to be able to give it your best and show up as you.
And then, are you ever in your prime to have a difficult conversation? Are you ever like, that's so difficult to say, oh right, I'm ready.
I don't think you ever will be. You've just got to bite the bullet.
No, and some conversations, like when I really don't want to have them, I rock up and I'm like on the call and I can hear my voice like juddering. I'm like, pull yourself together, Kate, like come on, we can do this. But again, in the back of my mind, I've got my whole team going, you need to do this for us. Like, you're not doing this for you, you're doing this for us. And again, other agency owners will have felt this multiple times over. You know, we are a small agency. We don't have layers of people to layer all this stuff on. It still sits with me. Mm-hmm. And as we grow, I'm sure we'll get roles in that will buffer that gap. But right now it still sits with me and it still feels quite personal and less personal because it's on me, but more personal because it's on my team.
Yeah. Definitely.
So those goalposts have kind of changed. And I feel really responsible as well for you guys. Like, I feel as though you show up, you work really hard, and I just feel the responsibility of...
It's almost like having your mum when she's like going to tell someone off.
Or like, I'm not that something. Old.
No, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it kind of gives, like, you've got someone protecting you when things go bad, or like there's the element of being like, you've got someone rooting for you.
Yeah, 100%. And then I guess the flip side to that is, so whilst I'm in that data collecting moment, right, if I data collect and I get all the facts and insights and, I don't know if anybody has done their insights profile. So it's where you get the blocks and it says, you know, are you blue? Are you analytical? Are you green? Are you a social butterfly?
Oh, this sounds interesting.
Are you red? Yeah, I know. We need to do it as a team. It's really, really good.
I feel like that will reveal a lot.
Yeah, because I'm blue, which means I lead with data and I'm really analytical. Mm. And red, which is like the anger, is my last block in my building block. So I'm blue, then I'm yellow, then I'm green, then I'm red. And I did that probably 2 or 3 years ago now. And I think if I was to do it again now, I would be very different and red would be higher up my block.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think we should do it actually. Yeah. It's a good point in the new year. But while I'm in that like analytical phase, if I find something and I'm like, oh God, we have actually messed up. We've missed something here, which is why I'm having this difficult conversation, whether that's with HMRC, a client, HR, whatever that might be. And actually, you know, there is a point where we've done something wrong, then that then changes the whole conversation because it means we've missed something or I've missed something. And again, I'll go back to something my dad always says to me, and it's be honest. Like, yeah. We're human beings. If we mess up, we mess up.
I think you can't give it and you can't be perfect all of the time.
No, we're not AI bots. Like we are, yeah, we're not AI bots. We're human beings. We are marketing via the means of being human, which is really, really important, especially in a world where everything's changing so much with AI coming in. And we are going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
But I think the key to that, especially from a difficult conversation perspective, is being honest about it.
Yeah, definitely.
And that was another massive learner for me because I used to work client side. And we worked with multiple agencies and I used to spot a lie a mile off. Like I was the marketing manager in a corporate environment and the agency would come back to me and be like, oh, this, and I'd be like, I just don't believe what you're saying.
So
I can really understand sometimes why those conversations might happen and I understand why data is so important to back that up. But I think if you are wrong, own up to it.
Yeah.
Because I think honesty is so key, especially from a client relationship perspective. And you would like to think that if you've acknowledged it and you fixed it and all of those things go into play, that naturally the client will appreciate that honesty.
Yeah, I think that that's what we do a lot in our side of the job as well. Like, obviously, it won't come down to majorly important stuff per se, but I think like, say, a post hasn't gone out that was scheduled or just like little finicky things that kind of, might go wrong, might get forgotten.
Yeah.
They don't happen often, but if you do have a client that comes to you and is like, why is this not being done? If you just say, and you are honest, being like, oh, this happened or this happened, I think that there is that level of, it goes back to us being real people. They understand more and appreciate it more.
Yeah, 100%. And one of our values, and I know we're working on all of that at the moment, which is really exciting, but one of our values, I think that's really important to us, is that we are human beings and we really act to that and we respond to that. And I think as the world progresses, that is more important than ever.
Definitely.
And again, going back to difficult conversations, be honest, like be your true, authentic self in a really difficult situation because it will really help. Whereas if you show up and you're, you know, arrogant and no, I didn't do that. And no, it didn't happen like that. Like that's never going to resolve a situation.
If you're very defensive, I don't think it
is
going to get you anywhere.
The other piece that is really important and that I try and do a lot, and I also do it with my husband as well, is if you have a difficult conversation, always think about the outcome that you want before you have the conversation. Because again, as we've grown up, as we've matured, I think as an agency, you can just have a conversation for the sake of it. But what do you actually want to happen at the end of it? And the same from whoever is on the other end of the phone, like what do they want as the resolution at the end of it? And if you know what that is and you have that open conversation about it, you can meet in the middle and try and find that resolution, assuming the other person is willing to meet in that resolution. But I think knowing what you want to get out of those difficult conversations is also really important.
With this call, what was it that was actually spoken about?
Oh,
I think that's the overarching that people would want to know.
Yeah, it's difficult because I can't go into it in too much detail. And there's multiple calls that I've had over even the last 3 years, mm-hmm. right? So there's calls, and I keep bringing it up, whether it's client calls, whether it's like HMRC calls are difficult calls. Like without
I'm so glad you deal with that.
I know. Without getting like into too much detail, I find them really difficult. Mm. And I also take those quite personally sometimes as well. But again, go back to what is the moment? What do I want to get out of it? What's my facts? What's my data? And like deal with it head on. But I think one other really important part of the call and or any difficult call is thinking about not the data so much, but what have you got in your agency that can help back you up in that moment in time? And what I mean by that is things like contracts, agreements, things yeah. that can really, really help give you weight in that moment. And again, in a previous episode with Laura, I call it the boring stuff. It's the really important stuff.
Yeah, it's the essentials. It is the
essentials.
The ground rules, isn't it?
And when you're a freelancer, I don't think that stuff happens as often as it should.
No, I mean, speaking from my experience, I've done freelance work and stuff, and it is that, like, I'm guilty for never having all of those things in place.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's just, even if it's a quick job, I'm like, oh,
It'll take you 5 minutes.
If it's a logo, you know, I'm like, oh, well, I don't need to set a certain amount of designs that I do or a certain yeah. amount of amends I need. And then you go back to it and then a very small task can take a very long time if you've not set your own boundaries
yeah,
in place.
100%. And that's where your contracts, that's where, you know, whether you do an SLA, like whatever it might be, those documents, as boring as they might be, will help you out
yeah,
in the long run.
They
are fundamental to what you do. So this is my note to say, if you don't have an SLA, if you don't have a contract, if you don't have your proposals, if you don't have all of that listed out, you absolutely need to have that because they will help you in moments that you need to.
And I guess
that's
something you've learned along the way, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't have them when I was a freelancer. I didn't have any of it. And I used to think, oh, it's just something else that's just adding time.
The boring stuff.
But actually, the more we grow as an agency, the more I've realised how fundamental they are and how important they are as well. So I think that piece is often overlooked, but should never be overlooked. And then it goes back to, because it's factual and it's data led and it's right in front of you, you don't then need to lead with emotion, because you can lead with, actually, this is professional, this is the contract, this is how it is, this is what it states. So it kind of takes that emotion out without you having to take it out. So it kind of buffers really nicely. Mm-hmm. So I guess we've covered a lot.
Yeah. And I want to know,
go on,
after these difficult calls that you have,
yeah,
how often that ever they happen,
yeah,
what is the one thing you always come away from it like realizing or feeling?
Ooh, what, like, question,
you know, after you've kind of bit the bullet, done
yeah.
it.
So I think I've only had 3 difficult conversations, really difficult ones, and they've been in multiple variants. So whether that's a client
different
one, whether
contexts,
that's a team,
I guess, yeah.
one, yeah, whether that's, and I will keep saying HMRC, there's been 3 that I can really specifically remember, and I face it head on. I make sure I've got everything. But when I come away from it, there is no, like, and again, the agency diaries is all about being honest. You feel shit after it. After every difficult conversation, I feel shit. And I remember saying to Laura in our team once, like, I just need to go and have the afternoon, like, to just recoup, like, and there's this thing, there's this saying that somebody said to me once, you start the day with 5 coins and you end the day either with 5 coins in your bag or you end up with no coins. And that day I was so spent. I had no coins left, no energy left. I literally had nothing left to give anybody. And I just had to go and, like,
I think it's almost better off at that point, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think there's no, you know, there's no decrying that after a difficult conversation, 9 times out of 10, you probably feel crap. But I think then when, and I'm a really reflective person, when I then reflect on it, how did I deal with it? You know, what
I was
does,
gonna say,
what
is
does
there
that look like?
That you think that you wish you'd said or done differently?
There's always things that sometimes you go, oh, I didn't say that. Yeah, I should have said that.
I'm so guilty for that.
Yeah.
I'm a very quiet in the moment person. And then I come away from it. I'm like, damn it.
I didn't say that. Yeah. All these things that I might have said and I'm like, that wasn't really necessary. Like it wasn't valid, but it just wasn't
needed. Almost like the anger piece coming in, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think, how do you feel when you come out of a difficult conversation? Like shit.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
I think
of it.
It goes back to that self-doubt thing, isn't it? You do the conversation and then you come away from it and you're like, oh, did I say the right thing? Did I do this? Did I do that?
And also it's emotionally draining.
It doesn't really end at the call, does it?
No, it doesn't end at the call because you hype yourself up before it. Then you have the call. Then after the call, you're emotionally drained after it. So it's just like, it's a lot to deal with. But I think it doesn't take away from the fact of how important they are to have.
What is one thing you think most founders need to do in situations like this?
Put your emotions to one side.
Yeah.
Like literally park them and go in and be professional, own the moment, be factual, be data-led and leave.
Have you ever taken, someone's something's going on.
Yeah.
There's a difficult call you need to have. Have you ever kind of gone away and spoken to other people about it to kind of,
validate
what you're saying?
100%. And that's part of my data collecting piece at the beginning. Talking to others. And I'm like, my star sign is scales, right? And I love to be balanced. If something's out of balance, I absolutely hate it. And that goes into, actually, I love hearing other people's viewpoints on things. And then I love going, okay, so now I've heard everything, then this is what I think we should do. And I'm not right all the time. Like, I know I'm not right all the time. But in the moment, I can only lead with what I believe to be right and what the data is telling me as well. And I always take it back to, obviously, that data piece. But in essence, step back before you react. Like, pause, stop, keep your emotions, underground, because they're just not needed in a professional conversation.
No, that's very true. Yeah.
As much as you can help it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as well, like for me, and again, I will always ring true to it. Like I feel so protective over my team that I will always fight for that as well. If we've done wrong, like I say, we'll say we've done wrong, but if we haven't, I will protect my team as much as I possibly can.
So are you saying most of the time as well that there is often a resolution to these situations?
There's always a resolution.
Yeah.
Like there is always a resolution. If it's a team member conversation, like be honest with them, talk to them about how they feel. Like how can you help them in that situation if something's overwhelming? Like there is always a resolution. You might just not know what that resolution is right now. If it's a client conversation, again, there is always a resolution. It just depends how much you're willing to bend.
I was going to say, is how there much any compromise involved in that?
There's always compromise. Always compromise. And this is like the reason I wanted to do this episode around calls and difficult conversations and all of those things is because I think it's something that's definitely overlooked, never talked about. It's, I would never ring a friend and be like, oh, I've had such a difficult conversation with a client today. This is what we talked about. This is how it made me feel.
I feel like it's that protective piece over you. Don't want people thinking that of you either.
No,
so
100%.
If someone's attacking you for something,
yeah,
you're almost giving that view to other people. Like they 100%. Should think that as well.
100%. So I really hope that this episode is going to give our audience and our listeners that moment of, oh my God, I've had that call as well, or I've had that difficult conversation. It was really hard because they are really hard. And again, like I can remember two specific moments within the last 2 years, and I've only probably had three difficult calls where I just literally had to go in a dark room and turn all the lights off because I was just so emotionally drained from them. But I was really, really proud of how I showed up and how I delivered myself. And that's taken time to learn that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And a lot of personal reflection and growth and, Kate, how do you deal with things? What's the best way for your team to see you deal with things? I'm not saying I get it right every time, but I think you can only learn from the last one that you've done.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I don't think they're never going to get easy, are they?
No, at the ever, end of the day. Ever. Unless you get someone else to do them for you.
I was going to say the only way is getting someone else to do the dirty work, but there isn't really, is there?
And I think just to finish on that, what is also really important and is left is a phone call, a conversation is 9 times out of 10 spoken. It's a spoken word and it's not written down in writing. And my best piece of advice is from, but from every conversation you have, follow up with an email.
Yeah.
Because
shows you've listened.
It shows you've listened to what they've said. If you write notes, so I always write notes on every call I have. I write notes so that it's in my head what's been spoken about. And I will take what we've been talking about into an email to affirm and to relay back what has been discussed. Mm-hmm. Just so that it's really clear what we spoke about.
And then you've got it in writing, haven't you?
Yeah, what we spoke about, what the resolution was, what happened, what was said, and what it then means moving forwards. And I think also that is overlooked a lot. It's and I feel like it's wrapping a ribbon around it, but not a ribbon, because it's like finishing that conversation off in a proper manner, in a really calm manner as well.
Definitely.
So it's showing up, putting your emotions to one side, and rounding off a difficult conversation in a written way so that it's sort of a tangible outcome, mm-hmm. if you like. And that's something that, as part of the agency diaries, we are going to work on. And I know we've started working on it, Phoebes, already, haven't
we? Exciting.
Really, really exciting. But as part of our agency survival kit, we are going to put in what we're going to call our calm resolution email. And that is going to be around giving you the fundamentals to wrapping up difficult conversations, mm-hmm. how to affirm what's been said, the important information in there, and just giving it the weight to close the door on the conversation, or if it wasn't resolved, then actually what happens from there. But hopefully that will help to give, again, our audience a bit more of a steer on, oh God, what do I do after this call?
It's a bit of weight in the back, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just do that final push.
Exactly that. So hopefully that will really help. And hopefully this conversation has helped as well. You know, it's always one of those things that's never spoken about.
I found it insightful. Yeah. So that's saying something.
And how long have we worked together and I never talk about, probably enough, what those difficult conversations are.
Yeah, it's easy to hide it behind doors, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, especially when we all work from home as well. So I think it's important we talk about it, and I think we've covered everything.
Yeah, it's been good.
It has been good. But again, like we always say at the end of every episode, the agency diaries is shaped around our audience, mm-hmm. right? So if there's any questions, if there's any points that people want to talk about.
Or if people want to use us for therapy.
Yes.
Just have a chat.
I feel like I'm in therapy right now. No, I agree. Please DM us on LinkedIn or Instagram, because we would love to hear exactly what you guys are going through.
Yeah, that's what we're for.
It's absolutely what we're for. The more we can open up the floor to questions and conversations, the better. And then I guess it's just like us, follow us.
Yeah. Subscribe to the pod.
Yep, all of those things. And we'll see you on the next episode.
We will indeed. See you in the next one.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.